Lights splashed down the alley. Each time this had happened, Bobby had peered around the stack of cartons. This time he almost didn't. He wanted to close his eyes and think about the farm, but he forced himself to look, and what he saw was the stubby yellow tail fin of a Checker cab just pulling up in front of the corner pocket. Adrenaline flooded Bobby and turned on lights in his head he hadn't even known about. He dodged around the stack of boxes, spilling the top two off. His foot struck an empty garbage can and knocked it against the wall. He almost stepped on a hissing furry something, the cat again. Bobby kicked it aside and ran out of the alley. As he turned toward the corner pocket, he slipped on some sort of greasy goo and went down on one knee. He saw the mortuary clock and its cool blue ring, 9:45. The cab was idling at the curb in front of the corner pocket's door. Ted Brodigan was standing beneath the banner reading, "Come in, it's cool inside," paying the driver. Bent down to the driver's open window like that, Ted looked more like Boris Karloff than ever. Across from the cab, parked in front of the mortuary, was a huge Oldsmobile as red as Alana's pants. It hadn't been there earlier, Bobby was sure of that. Its shape wasn't quite solid. Looking at it didn't just make your eyes want to water, it made your mind want to water. "Ted!" Bobby tried to yell, but no yell came out. All he could produce was a straw-like whisper. Why doesn't he feel them, Bobby thought. How come he doesn't know? Maybe because the lawmen could block him out somehow? Or maybe the people inside the corner pocket were doing the blocking. Old G and all the rest, the lawmen had perhaps turned them into human sponges that could soak up the warning signals Ted usually felt. More lights splashed the street. As Ted straightened and the Checker pulled away, the purple DeSoto sprang around the corner. The cab had to swerve to avoid it. Beneath the streetlights, the DeSoto looked like a huge blood clot decorated with chrome and glass. Its headlights were moving and shimmering like lights seen underwater. And then they blinked. They weren't headlights at all. They were eyes. "Ted!" Still, nothing but that dry whisper came out, and Bobby couldn't seem to get back on his feet. He was no longer sure he even wanted to get back on his feet. A terrible fear. As disorienting as the flu and as debilitating as a cataclysmic case of the squitters was enveloping him. Passing the blood clot DeSoto outside the William Penn Grill had been bad. To be caught in its oncoming eye lights was 1,000 times worse. No, 1,000,000 times. He was aware that he had torn his pants and scraped blood out of his knee. He could hear Little Richard howling from someone's upstairs window, and he could still see the blue circle around the mortuary clock like a flashbulb afterimage tattooed on the retina, but none of that seemed real. Narragansett Avenue suddenly seemed no more than a badly painted backdrop. Behind it was some unsuspected reality, and reality was dark. The DeSoto's grill was moving, snarling. "Those cars ain't real cars," Juan had said. "They're something else." They were something else, all right. "Ted!" A little louder this time. And Ted heard. He turned toward Bobby, eyes widening, and then the DeSoto bounced up over the curb behind him, its blazing, unsteady headlights pinning Ted and making his shadow grow as Bobby's and the Sigsby girl's shadows had grown when the pole light came on in Spicer's little parking lot.